All right, hi everybody, and welcome to the 2015-16 academic year of history at our house. I hope you've had a wonderful summer. So now in this junior and senior high class, we are going to embark on a new year of studies with the focus on ancient history. So this is going to be an exciting year here, and I think you're going to see a really strong connection to what you've learned last year, and from now on, increasingly, you're going to be able to have a sense, this is certainly my goal, of how the entire story connects together so that you can build an integrated body of historical knowledge. And this question that now I've started I've begun the academic years lately with this new type of a question, rather than one that I've traditionally adopted in the past, is connected to that theme of viewing history in a certain way, and in particular of viewing it as an integrated whole. And so that's why I'm coming at this question of what is history and what we're going to study this year, and you know, what is it all worth to you and why should you care and all of that stuff. Basically, by having you think about a seemingly deceptively simple question and inviting you to challenge how you answer that question, inviting you to try to answer it in new ways that you haven't thought of before, and inviting you to think of how history, in particular, of course, because that's the subject that we're going to work on together, how history helps us to answer this question and why it matters. Okay, we have this deceptively simple question. Where am I? As it turns out, like I said, deceptively simple. We can answer that in all sorts of simple ways, and momentarily I will ask you to do that, even though it won't exactly be hard for you to do, right? But it is a question that can be answered in such a wonderful variety of ways, in basically in an unlimited number of ways. And my theme for today that I hope to relate to you is that the way you answer that question, in the way that you approach that question, which is something else altogether, what your answer is and how you get to your answer and how you think of your answer, is going to be one of the most formative aspects of your life. You get that? That's kind of a big statement, so I'm going to just pause and make sure that sinks in. Do you get that phrase, that formative? What do I mean by that? What am I saying about the idea that here, that your answer to the question, where am I, is one of the most crucial formative answers that you have in that determines who you are? What does that mean, formative? Alexander?
Well, it means that it forms your life. Formative forms. So your answer to that question changes what kind of person you will be, and like your answers, like you said, it's one of these important formative questions. Your answers to these questions will construct your life framework, and if your answer changes, then so if your answer is different from someone else, then your life will be different from someone else.
All right, good, and I like that's a great answer. Right, formative means how, you know, it's forming who you are. Alexander used the words constructing a framework for looking at the world. Okay, shaping your outlook. We could use different expressions to say the same thing. Right, okay, but yes, these questions, your answer to this question, along with related questions, do precisely that. And as Alexander points out, your answers, because you're going to have more than one answer to an important question like this, are going to end up having a huge effect on who it is that you are and what it is that you do. Okay? And if that proposition is not fully, you know, powerful to you yet, let's just hold off here and I will demonstrate just how significant this proposition is. And then, of course, the question will be, okay, well, what about history? What does history have to do with that? You see, because I think that historians have become focused on the past at the exclusion of and at the expense of the connection between the past and us here and now. And I think that they are wrong about that, and that it is very damaging to think of history in that way. And that this is precisely why most people think that history is useless. Because most people need answers to certain questions in their lives. Where, one among them being, where am I? And if a subject that you're learning, or that grown-ups, from, you know, for some reason have conjured out of nowhere, that you have to learn that thing, doesn't seem to have any relationship to these important questions in your life, then you start to have issues, which I certainly did, and your parents did, and we all did. I wish the educators out there had all the right answers, and were doing a really great job of teaching all the subjects we need to learn, but they aren't. And so when I learned history, for instance, had no connection. I could not, for the life of me, figure out why the stuff I was learning about, whether it had happened in 1600 or 1945, I had no clue. I could not understand why I needed to know that. Because when I looked around at the world and then I looked at the history books, I didn't see the connection. So, when I was trying to figure out, as you are now, and I guarantee you, it's an ongoing, constant process. You are trying to figure out, here's another one of those big questions. Who am I? You know, this is another one of those big fundamental questions in your life. Who are you? Right? What kind of person are you? What are you interested in? What are your values? And what kind of life do you want to live? What do you want to do? What kind of career? You're probably pondering that. You're old enough to be pondering that. You might not have answers yet, but I guarantee you, you're asking them, right? And this is what life is like. You have to be answering these questions. You have to be asking them and answering them. And if you then take up a typical history book and rifle through it, what you will find there is it doesn't seem to have anything to do with these important questions you're asking. So then, of course, the natural response is to say, well, who cares about that then? Right? I gotta live my life. I gotta pursue my happiness. I've got my family. I've got my friends. I've got my siblings. I've got, you know, and so on. And eventually at some point in your life, you're going to have your, presumably, you know, you're going to have a husband or wife and you're going to have your own kids and so on, right? I mean, this is when we think about living our lives, the jobs that we have and the cars and the homes and all these things, right, that our life is so tied up with. Again, what does history have to do with that? And for most people, unfortunately, historians don't try hard enough to answer that question, have in some cases just completely abandoned the question. So most people think, well, history doesn't have anything to do with my life, and therefore I don't need to know it. Whereas in fact, the opposite is true. that history is in fact one of the most essential ways of figuring out where you are. I am absolutely convinced of that. History is one of the most essential tools that we have as human beings for figuring out where we are. And thus leading our lives successfully, being efficacious human beings on this earth. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And Thomas Jefferson once said that history is that knowledge most useful to us. And so I'm on his side when it comes to what history is all about and what it's worth. He said, it's that knowledge most useful to us. And you can bet the founding fathers were in 1776. They had a lot of questions to answer about the world. One of the big ones they had to answer is, where are we? And by that, they had to have some really good answers. They couldn't have facile answers. Does everybody know what the word facile means? Which is, you know, kind of, I was going to let you guys offer me up some answers about, you know, where are you? What would be a facile answer to the question, where are you right now, right? If I asked it of you, what would be, Nemo, what is facile?
Facile is simple or easy.
Yeah, okay. But, and usually though, when we use the word facile, we mean simple in kind of, in a way where you could be doing so much more. Okay? In other words, where there's so much more to know and you go with a simple answer that really shows that you haven't thought about it. It shows that you haven't really considered how interesting something is. So your answer is simple, but it's simple in a bad way. That's what facile means. People don't say facile just to mean simple. They mean facile in a bad way. Okay? So, right? If you ask yourself, where am I? Or I ask you, where are you? A kind of facile answer would be, I'm in my living room. Right? That would be kind of a not very ambitious, not very engaged type of answer where you just haven't let your mind or engaged your mind to challenge the question and see whether or not there could be something more. Okay, so that's you got to be careful of just accepting a facile type of answer. History is the type of subject that gives us insight into the world around us and gives us really answers to the question, "Where am I?" that are complex and indirect. The key word there being insight. History provides us insight into where we are rather than just a superficial type of an answer. Okay, so that's what I want to try to show you here in the next lecture or so. In the second lecture in particular, we'll get deeply into this question, where am I? And try to get you to engage with that question a little bit more and to see the significance of it. So, let's try for some more sophisticated answers to the question, where am I? And think about, again, their significance. So if you wanted to be a little bit more philosophical or a little bit more thoughtful about the question, where am I? I remember Nemo last year, I gave this as a homework question and Nemo came up with a really cool answer. He said, I'm at 49 degrees north, 121 degrees west. I thought that was a really awesome answer. So he came up with the geographical coordinates. So that was an example of a creative answer to the question, where am I? But somebody else said that I am 19 minutes away from my best friend. And I thought that was, an insightful answer. It was a way of thinking about the question in connection to your values. Right? And then, well, the sky's the limit here. You can answer this question in an unlimited number of ways. And the way that you approach it, as Alexander was talking about, is formative. Okay? It's going to impact what you, how you look at the world and what you try to do and what you think is possible and so on. I'll show you exactly what I mean shortly here, but Nemo might have an answer. Go ahead, Nemo.
So you could think of it in space or time.
Nice. Okay. So and give me an example of those.
Example of space would be that I live on Auburn Road, and that's in Chilliwack, and that's in British Columbia, and I live in Canada, and I live in America, and that's on Earth, and then I live in the Milky Way galaxy and in the universe.
Yeah, right, exactly. All the different levels of resolution. Okay, so that's going to lead me to the point I'm going to make shortly here about how exciting that is. You wanted to say also something about time. So go ahead and tell me about that, Nemo.
It's the 24th, it's August, it's 2015, and it's the 21st century, and it's after the birth of Jesus.
Yeah, okay, right, all right. So you already know where I'm going with some of that in terms of, right, our coordinates, we could say, in space and time. We are in a certain place, and that place has certain qualities that depend very much on all the other events that have happened before and that lead us to the kind of world that we're in, right? So where am I can be, you can take a lot of different perspectives on that question. Okay, and so, again, what is the, what, let me show you an example of something that I'm excited about when it comes to this question, where am I? Just to give you a sense, let me see if I can spark a little bit more interest here in this question just by answering it in the following way. This is an amazing answer to the question. Right? This is one of the most spectacular answers that, you know, that human beings have available to them. Does anybody recognize this? This photograph has a name. I mean, I know you know what it is if you just know some basic geography, right? Okay? But what is it? Does anybody know what this picture is called? I figured Nemo word. Anybody else know it? Nemo, go ahead. Tell us, what is it? What is this called?
The blue marble, I think.
Yes, it is indeed. So it's one of the versions of the blue marble, which is a NASA photograph, right? So it's taken from space. Now the blue marble's right in the title too, if you snuck a peek at the title. Okay. All right. So, when you look at the world this way, and it's, if you're able to kind of embrace this answer here and let your imagination run wild a little bit, what is the impact of this answer? If this is the answer, if this, what, one of the wonderful things, right, that NASA and scientists and astronomers and all of that whole, you know, part of life, those people that specialize in these types of things. What are they showing us about where we are? Especially when NASA creates a picture called the blue marble like this. What are they telling us? Can you marvel at this a little bit? Keen, go ahead.
To me, it says we live in a time where this is possible to see the place that we live in the universe like this, and that this is an incredibly technologically advanced time, and human beings have spent, you know, an incredible amount of time and energy and to get to this point, and to be able to have an answer like this that no one else in all of history could even dream of until very, very recently.
All right, that's an amazing perspective, because you took it even a step further back in a sense. You went, to a perspective on the person. On the, I was going to ask you, what does this tell us about the world? Well, what you said was, well, it tells us about what we know, like what it tells us about us and our ability to think about the world. So you took some steps back there in levels of abstraction, is what I would say. And so that's a marvelous answer and a great perspective to look at it, right? Because yes, we are able to see this. So what you're saying is, it tells this, a picture like this tells us about us. It doesn't just tell us about the world, but it tells us about us, the ones who were able to take this picture. Right? So yeah, that is, you know, one step further removed, which is true and wonderful. And if you can appreciate that, that's great. Okay. But coming back to that, because that was a great answer, but beyond what I was expecting, what about just the world? Again, more focusing on the world that we live in. What does the blue marble tell us about the world that we live in? You know, again, the where we are part. Where are we? What does it say, Timothy?
I think it's saying that we're so small compared to the rest of the whole universe.
Well, it can, especially if you zoom out from this, but doesn't this look big? It actually is big. Now, you know, you can zoom out further, right? But I don't feel the smallness of the Earth here. But there is something related to that, which I think is more what it's saying. Again, the kind of the marble concept or something relating to that. Right? Yeah, as you're saying, Timothy, has to do with the idea of a marble. Keen?
I'm not sure if this is what you're looking for either, but it's a picture of the Americas, which could be telling us and does tell us that we live in an America-centric world.
Well, yeah, no, that it wasn't NASA's intention to be kind of political or historical. They've taken lots of blue marble pictures, and the first one was one of Africa and so on. So it's changed over time. So it's not really meant to be a commentary on anything of that sort. But I was more looking for what Timothy was saying, in the sense that we live on this ball, right? This marble. It's this sphere. And look at it. It is hanging in space. Right? It's hard to fathom. And we don't necessarily walk around every day taking this seriously, because it's such an amazing thing to ponder, right? But here we are on this planet, right? It's in space. It's surrounded by space, and we can go off of it. And see, my point here about this perspective of looking at the Earth in this way, and combining it with your point, Keen, about people and what they are capable of doing, why I find the blue marble perspective so exciting, is this: what we are soon going to be doing. And I hope that it will be as spectacularly exciting as it can be, that NASA is able to really generate as much interest as possible, right? If you have this blue marble perspective, then, well, and you are, as Keen said, the kind of people that can do that sort of thing, well, then what's next? Right? What's next? I mean, we are, wow, Nemo, I want to hear more about that. We're the people now that are ready to leave. We're ready to go to the other marbles. We want to go to the red planet. We want to leave, right? We've already done this amazing thing, which is walk on the moon. Spectacular as that is, there's a universe out there. And, you know, we can do that. And plans are being made as we speak, and the technology is being developed to make that all happen. It's combining all kinds of amazing technologies and learning that human beings are doing, and pretty soon within your lifetime, people will walk on Mars. Amazing. So this is, to me, that's just strikes wonder in me, and it's a spectacular, amazing thing, as Keane was saying, about us as human beings, that nobody could have imagined 100 years ago. People really had no inkling that this was possible, and yet we're doing it now. The way that we think of the world has a huge, how do we answer this question? Where are we? Right? If our answer is like this, let me get this off the screen. If our answer is kind of like this, it makes it possible for us to do a whole bunch of other things. It's a very exciting answer. Here's a different answer. Which we'll have time to talk about this year. Here are the heavens, right? The stars in the sky. And here's Keane. And here's Juliet. There's Timothy. So, right? This is a different kind of answer as to where are you? What kind of answer is this? What do you notice about this answer? What culture produced this answer, first of all? That should be easy to answer. What culture produced this answer? Juliet?
Egyptian culture.
Yeah, ancient Egypt. Okay, right? And what, how did they think of the world? This is a diagram of the world. Of the universe. Okay? What did they think? Or rather, to be more correct, what did they believe? What was their outlook, their formative picture of the world? Alexander?
Well, they thought that there was this big, I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's some big goddess that's overarching over everything, and there's everything outside is just out there, and there are these different layers, and everything is flat as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what, so we have this kind of personified arch over the world, right? It's like a human shape with this giant extended thing, right? And the people down here are kind of all in these layers underneath, and we have some of these in kind of vessels up here at some higher level and so on. A lot of symbols and stuff that, you know, we don't have to decipher the whole deal here. So what did this way of looking at the world, how did this affect the Egyptians? Well, the answer will come, we will explore over the course of a significant segment of the year here. We'll look at ancient Egyptian culture, and we will, we'll definitely try to understand their answer. It's a very different answer than the modern answer. And so we'll see. What happens when you look at the world this way? Right, as opposed to any other way. What kind of life are you going to lead, or what kind of culture are you going to have? What impact does it have on you? As it turns out, the impact is gigantic. The answer to the question, where am I? Right? If your answer is such an answer, it's going to be a really big deal to you. It's going to be one of the most formative questions of your life. And what about this archway here? You know, this kind of covering of the world, and beyond it, the heavens. What impact will that have on how you think about the world? Because most primitive cultures have had this kind of outlook. have kind of thought of the world as this little enclosure, and then perhaps a sphere. You know, in European thinking, more it was more like a sphere, not so much thought of as a personified covering of the world or anything, but it's more thought of as a sphere. And well, you know, people were living inside of it, and that was kind of how people answered the question, "Where am I?" But how we got to where we are today had to do with not so much the answer that people had, but how they thought of the question. Not so much the answer that people had, but how they thought of the question. So this, we're going to think of this question as what, with regard to history as well. We're going to think about this topic is, what does history say about the world? But beyond that, or how does it help us to answer the question? What answers does it give us? But how does it encourage us to think of the world? How does it encourage us to engage with the world, or to inquire into the world? When the first ancient Greeks invented history, Herodotus in particular is one of the founders of history. His book was not called The Histories, although it's often translated, the title of it is. His book was called The Inquiries. So the first famous historian in the history of the world, his book was called The Inquiries. So what he was saying was, what I'm trying to do is inquire into the world. I'm trying to learn more about it. See what is not obvious, what is not facile, gain some insight into this place that I am. Get some new answers to the question, where am I? Not just the easy answers. Not the facile answers. I love this symbolic picture. I don't know if you've ever seen this. In the Middle Ages, right, they had this notion of the earth, often depicted kind of as flat within this sphere, and while the heavens were beyond and kind of inaccessible, but the discoverers who broke through the kind of superstitions and limitations of knowledge, this is kind of a metaphor for that process, right? Of wanting to have better answers to the question, where am I? Seeing what's out there beyond the limits, symbolically, of the answers that I have now. Think of it that way. I mean, you've got certain answers. You're learning. You're learning more about the world. And you can answer the question, where am I, in lots of different ways. Some simple, some more sophisticated. Obviously, I've heard some pretty sophisticated answers already here today, right? But part of what we're going to be doing with history is expanding what it is that you're capable of thinking of when you hear a question like that, and imagining more, breaking through whatever limitations there are from not knowing history, because there are some huge ones. If you don't know history, you will be stuck in a certain way of looking at the world. And I'm going to give you an example right now. Whew, does anybody know what this is? You sure got to know your geography before you can answer, but you might be able to guess from some symbols on it or what have you. Alexander, go ahead.
I think this is the ancient, or not that ancient, some time ago,
yeah.
Chinese map of Asia.
Yes.
With some really weird places.
Okay, you are correct. Okay, so this right here is China. And this right here is Korea. This right here is Japan. This right here is India. Okay, and so yeah, basically, this was the Chinese map of the world. Now, And then, yeah, the dots, I have no idea. They're cities or towns or what have you. Okay. But this map of the world is very revealing of how the Chinese used to answer the question, where am I, and how powerfully it impacted them. If you're looking at this map, right, and this is China, what is your answer to the question, where am I? What is this kind of outlook concerning your place in the world? And maybe if you remember Asian history, you can think about what the impact of this type of outlook is. How did the Chinese, does anybody remember what it was called, the Chinese way of looking at the world? Keen?
The Chinese called themselves the Middle Kingdom.
Uh-huh, right, okay. And the Middle Kingdom, and not just the middle, right? What else?
I can't remember.
You were right, that's the right term. But if this is the map of the world, what does it say about China?
They thought that the world was China-centric.
Yeah, okay. Not just China-centric, but pretty much China was the big deal, right? It was the most important thing. It was huge. Nothing else. I mean, Korea, vastly exaggerated here, because we know that Korea is very small, was obviously very important, right? India, as big as it is depicted smaller than Korea, practically. Japan, well, they didn't think much of Japan, right? But what about the rest of the world? Right? They really didn't have much notion of it or think that it mattered at all. This was an answer to the question, where are we? Right? Now, history was not very kind to them for coming up with this answer. Because they said, this is where we are. So when China would send its mariners out into the world, it would send them to these places. And then return with tribute, and China was thinking, the Chinese emperors were thinking, wow, we are the top dogs. We are the greatest, right? Because everybody, you know, recognizes that China is the most important place in the world, and we know it, and we feel it, right? But was that the case? Was it really the case? Well, it's true that China is at the center of this kind of arrangement, even if it's not very geographically correct, right? Okay, but a lot of what they were missing was everything that's on this map, which some of you guys have studied. Right over here, for instance, is Europe. And the Europeans didn't necessarily know that much more about the world than the Chinese did. They also had limited knowledge. But let me show you an interesting consequence of these profoundly different maps. The Chinese map of the world and the European map of the world, with Europe here. One of these cultures became a culture of explorers, and one did not. Which one was it and why? In reference to this question, where am I? Can you see where I'm going with this? Why did one of these cultures turn into an exploration culture and the other one not? Of course, the answer is complicated, but just think of it in terms of the question, where am I? Nemo?
The Europeans were the first ones to start exploring as they saw there was more to the world than the Chinese saw.
Well, okay, there's more. Okay, yes, I would agree. That's a part of it. The more is definitely part of it. Alexander, what else?
Well, they weren't already the Middle Kingdom. In fact, they are right on the edge of the Atlantic Ocean, and they wouldn't cross the Atlantic Ocean for quite some time. So they're actually right on the edge, and they're definitely not the biggest either. Like the Arabian Empire was pretty big at this point, and they knew that there was some stuff further to the east in Asia.
Mm-hmm, right. So, in other words, if the Europeans answered the question, where are we, they would say, well, we're kind of up here in this corner over here, and there's this great big world that we're a part of. when they embraced that answer. It wasn't easy for them because at first they had a very similar kind of thought to the Chinese. They said, well, okay, if you ask them, where am I? Well, they actually wouldn't even be able to tell you. I mean, that's what it was in the Dark Ages. The science of geography didn't even exist for them. So they didn't even know. But once they got hold of this ancient Greek knowledge and kind of revived it and figured it out, well, they looked at the world and they said, well, this is us over here, but man, there's this whole great big world over there. And, well, combine that with this way of looking at things. Right? This desire to break through the limits and know more about the world. You get an age of discovery. On the other hand, if this is your answer to the question, where am I? Well, then your answer is, I'm in the center of everything. Everything revolves around me. That would have been the answer of the Chinese emperor. I'm the ruler of the world. So what of it? What do I need to do? The answer of the Chinese emperor was nothing. They didn't have an ambition to know more because they already allowed themselves to think that they were at the center of everything. So there was no age of discovery for our culture that answered the question, where am I this way? Now, Timothy said something interesting about this blue marble answer, right? Let's skip that one for now. The blue marble answer is another really interesting answer. The smallness of it is kind of one of the features of the blue marble answer. And it's connected to the desire to explore, right? Because you could look at the smallness of it and you could say different things about that. You could say, whoa, how fragile that is, how scary that is. That would be one way of looking at it, and that would affect what you think, how you choose to live your life, and so on. On the other hand, you could look at it in terms of, with an explorer's mindset. You say, I want this, yeah, okay, it's small, and there's an amazing, huge universe out there. Let's go into it. Let's go find out about it. Right? So again, where am I is a part of, but it's not everything, when it comes to how you're going to live your life. Okay, so then the question is going to be, what about history? I know some of you have already got some good answers. You've been around. Some of the veterans here. All right, Mr. Powell's, you know, kind of going a roundabout way towards this, you know, to get us to this answer. We already kind of know it. But remember, oftentimes it's about how you approach something and how willing you are to challenge the answers you already have that's going to get you to an even better answer. And if I, in my state of knowledge, am constantly challenging myself to get a better answer, I think you guys can too. So here's what we're going to do as far as, getting ready for history, and in particular, ancient history this year. I want you to think of the following and be ready to contribute some good answers tomorrow here. You're welcome to send this to me by email if you want to. What I want you to think about is you're learning a variety of subjects this year, history among them. So just enumerate those subjects to yourself, whatever they may be, right? Probably at this stage, you're starting to study more than just science. You might be studying biology and physics and who knows, and you're going to be studying algebra or calculus. Oh my gosh, something like that. You're going to be studying more than just, you know, spelling. You might be studying vocabulary from classical roots or all kinds of different, you know, sophisticated things, various forms of literature and so on. Okay. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. In order for you to attain a new level of motivation, a new perspective, and hopefully a new level of motivation with regard to any of these subjects that you're studying, I want to challenge you to think about, what are those things telling you about where you are? Can you answer that? Is going to be a really interesting question. And for you guys to go beyond that question Ask yourself another question. Let us say that you have trouble answering that question. So most students in the past, for instance, with regard to history, have not been able to answer for themselves, okay, history tells me about where I am. No, they would say, history tells me about the past, and therefore I don't care. Okay, if you can't make the connection, in other words, if you don't see that it's telling you about where you are, how do you feel about that subject? And how is that a formative thought for you? You'll notice that it will be. It will be one of the dominant conditioning factors about whether you like something or not, is how well you can see that it helps you to understand where you are. Something about your life, but something that matters to you. So this is a really great challenge for you to start off the year academically, is to look at the subjects you're learning and strive to answer this question as well as you can, so that you can summon the energy that you need, the focus and the motivation to study those things. And to challenge your teachers, including me and yourself, to make the right connections, to find the relevance, to find the significance and say, yes, I see it. I get that this tells me about this aspect of my life, or this truth, this insight into what I see around me comes from this subject, and so on. And the better your answers, the more you'll be able to learn. The more you're going to position yourself to be in a position to get even better answers, and so on and so forth, and there's no limit to the process. This blue marble picture that is our main image for today, again, is not the limit. Right? You can look at it a lot of different ways. Right? You can see the blue marble from even further away. And further and further and further, and there's no reason why, you know, you can't really embrace and be inspired by an unlimited vista, because that's what you're capable of doing. But first, you've got to challenge yourself to answer questions like this one. So see what you can make of it. Everybody clear on kind of what the question is? You're studying various subjects. See if you can state for yourself, clarify for yourself, what does this do for me? How does this subject help me to understand where I am? Does it? And by the way, I guarantee you, they all do. So you can't get away with the answer, it doesn't. Or, I mean, if you feel that way, that's okay. Or if you haven't, you know, managed to come up with a good answer for yourself yet, that's okay too. It's not, again, it's not about whether you're right or wrong or what your particular answer is right now. More often than not, the most important thing is how you approach the question. How you think about it so that you can get to another level of answer. So that's your goal, is to try to think of it in a new way. Try to look at the subjects that are traditional and that, you know, are just kind of hand-me-down topics and everybody does them sort of thing, which is a facile answer, and figure out, well, what do they really do for me? Why am I learning these things? And if you can empower yourself with good answers, then you'll be better equipped to study those and excel at those things. And again, take yourself to the next level. And especially with regards to history, we are going to summon 5,000 years worth of human activity into our awareness. Why bother? Isn't it good enough to turn on the TV and find out the latest thing about the Kardashians? Isn't that good enough? Isn't that what so many people do? What's the number one hit in the top 40 these days? Is it not enough? Or whatever. Right? Whatever you see kind of around you, the answers that pretty much everybody has, is that good enough? Or do you want better answers? What perspective are you going to achieve so that you can see more and do more? Okay. All right, tomorrow, and then of course, tomorrow we'll compare answers, and I'll try to give you some motivation with regard to some of those other subjects, because I think it's a great question with regard to grammar. I think it's a great question with regard to literature. See if you can come up with answers for that. And then, of course, our main focus is going to be history. What's it going to tell us? And we will embark on that. And of course, we'll be doing it the whole year. So, so we'll see what it tells us. Okay, guys. Hey, we're back. I'm glad to have you back. And I'm sure it's going to be an exciting year with what we're going to study. It can't help but be. So we'll do our best to help you see how it matters here and now. And how it's going to help you come up with a better answer than most people have about where you are and what kind of life you can have. All right, good luck to us. Good luck. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.